the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guest, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send the WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guest is brought in association with our good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
Yes, if anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Cricket played louder, the CPL very much with us. Big game at Kensington Oval tomorrow night, yes, and tonight the Shenosha Kings up against the Trinbago Knight Riders. So we're going to be certainly taking a focus on the CPL. We asked the question, as we put the CPL under the microscope, was it doing for West Indies cricket? What do you want to see from the CPL? That is something we really want to discuss tonight on Mason and Guest. Hey, what's going on in England there? What a big victory for Sri Lanka. Oh my golly. I'm sure they're dancing all over Sri Lanka with that tremendous victory against a very, very arrogant England side, pregnant with overconfidence. And you know what? Sri Lanka took the goose, as they would want to describe it. We want to congratulate them, as we say, from there and from far. In relation to the local scene, well, we should have had the start of the under 15 finals. That has been postponed. Brilliant sunshine today. The game scheduled at Bear Hall. My understanding is that the pitch wasn't covered. And if that's the case, well, then the BCA need to do better than that, in my view, really. I understand that there should have been covered since the Sunday, and that wasn't the case. And in the end, there was football there as well. And the logistics, they've got to be right. They've got to be right. We had a situation a little early on up at Brayton when the pitch wasn't covered as well. So the BCA, you've got to get that right. To be honest with you, I'm a little bit disappointed that you would not have been able to get those covers on time. Saw an interesting article there by our good friend, Mr. Ezra Michael Stewart from The Nation, talking about that. Some sad news. Speaking to Wendell Company, lost his father yesterday, and we at Mason and Guest, we offer our sympathies. Clyde Bertram Alina, 92, from Leadvale in Christchurch, and may he rest in eternal peace. In fact, I did in fact speak to Wendell Coppin this afternoon. He lost his father aged 92, and we wish Richard Lord from Spartan well. He's not been in the best of health in recent times. He's in hospital, and I know that we pray for him, a tremendous servant. One of those that, you know, club life for them is so great, like a Norman Mason up at St. Catharines, who was the secretary of the club for 37 years. Can you imagine that? I mean, Richard Lord is the heart and soul of Spartan. And you know, when you talk about village life, you talk about club life, these are the people that if they're not around, things don't go well. I mean, I just used to so admire a Thelston Payne, would never leave St. Catharines, you know, and he's gone to the great beyond. And these are real club people, and Richard Lord is a Parkite to the bone, and we wish him well. He's in hospital. I was speaking to Harold Eastman, my colleague, on the weekend, and he said that and of course, here at Mason and Guest, we wish him well. I'm not going to do a lot of talking. I'll go straight to my panel. I see Julian Charles from St. Lucia. Julian, of course, a former first-class cricketer. I note with interest that they're going to be celebrating that gold medalist. Yes, indeed, tremendous, tremendous. I'm sure we're going to talk about that. September the 27th is a very special day in St. Lucia, and I'm sure that when Julian comes a calling, he will want to share in that as well. Don Topley is joining us. He's in pink. Well, they say real men, real pink, and he's very much there with us as well. He's not going to be with us for a long time because, of course, it's way past his bedtime. He's going to be speaking, of course, about that defeat by England. He must be crying a river. And, of course, we want to get some assessment of the Caribbean Premier League. We've got Basil Jr. with us as well. Let's go to Don Topley first of all. Don, can you tell the Mason and Guest family what happened to England? Were they overconfident? They lost. Can you tell me, Don?
Yeah, they were. Good evening to you and good evening to everybody out in the Caribbean. Let me tell you, in England, it's got a little bit cold today. Autumn is coming. And autumn came for England last week because, yes, they got beaten up by Sri Lanka. Mm. It was a very poor performance. They didn't bat so well. There were a lot of wickets given away. It was really thought-provoking. And England had a hard look in the mirror. Fair credit. What a magnificent century by Nisanka. It was. He played beautifully. Maybe England didn't bowl so well either, but there were a couple of poor drop catches. Mm. I mean, look, England have done very well this summer, but unfortunately, I think school or term was up and they performed very poorly. You used a few words which, you know, I'm probably going to have to agree with you, Andrew. Maybe there was a little bit of arrogance. Maybe it was the end of the term. The series was over. And listen, they were poor. They were poor. Sri Lanka duly deserved their win. So well done to them. But England have already, straight as this test match was finished, they've picked their 11 for the white ball game. There's 8 white ball games against Australia now, mm-hmm. but also they picked the tour for the test series in Pakistan. And what is surprising is no Ollie Robinson, no Ben Folks. Mm. And they're actually thinking this could be the end of their test careers because England are going to go a new way. So listen, I'm a little bit perplexed. But they've chosen it, and they've also chosen Baz McCullum to take the white ball reins as well. So a lot's happened in the UK reference cricket.
Do you like that move, though, to have, I like his name, Baz McCullum. I like that very much indeed. Do you like the idea of the red ball coach being the white ball coach as well? Do you like it, Don?
I'm surprised. Mm-hmm. I think the next year, 18 months, probably with the way English cricket's going to be playing, I think that there is a wave of optimism which they're going to continue on. But asking Baz McCullum to do both, I think, is a real challenge. Mm. But he wants it. He's excited by it. But traditionally, of late, we've had two different coaches, but now they're going to go as one. And purely because of the schedule, McCullum believes that he has good lieutenants in place that can do his work. Because whilst the test matches don't overlap too much, we are finding that the time is tightening. And you can't always fly to certain places in the world. For instance, we're going to come out to the West Indies and do a white ball tour shortly. But I don't think McCullum can come to that because he'd be busy with Pakistan and in an away series. But we still don't know where it's going to be played.
That's true. That's very true.
So scheduling still remains a problem, Andrew.
Just before we go to the rest of the panel, talking about England coming to the Caribbean, a lot of people will be coming and understand that the numbers may be down. Is that correct? Don?
It is. I think we can sadly say that we're coming back to the West Indies for the third time in 11 months. But I just don't think with, I'm going to say, suggestive change of government as well, that the people that traditionally would go are probably having to keep some pound coins under their bed because money's becoming quite tight in the UK since we had a change of government.
But that's the government.
But
that's the government you voted for. That's the government you voted for, Don.
Well, maybe I didn't, but maybe when I come out to Barbados, I might have to choose a slightly more cheaper rum or maybe one less beer. But money's tight.
So you don't expect money's the numbers. Tight. You don't expect the numbers. You don't. Would the Barmy army be coming?
No. The Barmy army might be coming, but not in their hundreds, probably in their tens or twenties. I think all tour operators are not getting the numbers that they wanted, envisaged, or experienced in years gone by. It's just a bit tighter. It's a troubling time for tour operators, not just coming to the West Indies, but Pakistan with the recent things that have happened in there, maybe Australia. Or if some of the English gentry are looking to go to the Ashes, they're going to have to save up a lot of money to go there in just over a year.
Well, perhaps it would be good to bring Chris there, and he's just joined us. Of course, he's a big marketing man. He's just joined us on the show. Philo Wallace is with us in Basel. The numbers are dropping. I just also feel for the CPL as well. I don't get the same feel about the CPL this year as we got, before. And I know that the Tala was not involved in it. Chris, is there too much cricket? Do you think there's going to be a decline in the numbers going forward? What do you think?
I think that definitely we're definitely in a phase where there's a significant amount of cricket that has happened in a very short period. And you saw the impact even most recently in Major League Cricket, which followed right after the T20 World Cup in the US. And the buzz and hype for even Major League Cricket wasn't the same, obviously, as, you know, having just hosted a Cricket World Cup in the US. The CPL, it might be a slightly different situation because the CPL, you know, has been going on for quite a while. And like with all products and product life cycles, it may have entered a phase where it needs a sort of renewal. Some new energy, whether it be some new star, some new teams coming into place, some new players, etc. So you know, every event is going to have its issues. I noticed in the UK, you know, even the ticket prices for the Sri Lanka tour and the West Indies tour actually reduced, which is very unusual for the UK where for testing. You know, they had to actually drop prices, which is not a great sign for that format of the game, which has always been just very strong in England. And of course, the sheer volume of cricket now that you're getting on your screens, whether it be IPL, CPL, Big Bash, and so on, you're getting all of this on your screens. And so the impetus to travel is probably not as great. The one thing about T20, you know, T20 has brought a much younger fan base globally. And of course, a much younger fan base tends to have much lower spending power, you know. So the one thing about Test cricket, it had a much older, much more affluent fan base. So the Barmy armies of this world, you tend to have people with much more significant disposable income than, say, I would think the average T20 fan, because it's just a younger fan base in T20. And that younger fan base I think, wants to be able to sit down, watch an IPL game today, a CPL game tomorrow, a Big Bash game the following day, all on their screen. So, you know, we are entering new waters, I think, a very challenging time. Jamaica is a different scenario totally when it comes to demand for the CPL, you know. Even with Jamaica Talawa, I never ever felt, and this is purely anecdotal, that there was this overwhelming sense of demand for Jamaica Talawa, but it was embryonic. Now with no team branded as Jamaica, nobody that we can identify with. I tell you, I'm on a couple of, and this is purely anecdotal, but it does have a slight, some scientific basis. You know, I sit on a WhatsApp chat that of real sports enthusiasts. They watch everything and debate everything. Real sports enthusiasts. About only about 14 people. But interesting, I did a quick survey before coming on, and none of them have watched a CPL game yet for the season.
Really? Wow. Wow. That's a serious thing.
And to be fair, we are also coming off an incredible summer of sports. Yeah. I don't know in my lifetime if I've ever had a summer of sport like this, because we had the Euros, we had Copa America, we had Olympics, we had T20 World Cup. So there was this incredible volume of sports to be consumed. Very quickly, you know, over a very short period. So it has probably sort of made events like CPL seem almost unimportant at the moment. Obviously, things might change as you get more into the knockout phase and so on. But I think there's a bit of event exhaustion that's taking place, possibly globally.
That's an interesting comment. Basil Butcher Jr., are you feeling the CPL?
You see, in the Caribbean, it depends on where you're from. In Guyana, the CPL fever is hot, hot, hot.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends who are going to be going down to Guyana for the CPL that can't get tickets because there are no tickets available.
Okay.
The only tickets available is in the hoity-toity place where you got to pay $175, right? The stands, particularly for the Guyana games, you can't find tickets, right? They've all either been bought up, so people want to make money on the tickets because they're in such great demand. If you recall, the test match was being played in Guyana against South Africa, and it's around the same time the tickets for the CPL was released.
Right.
And the line was round the corner. Round the corner. So, when it comes to Guyana, I can't speak. I would say two places.
Trinidad.
In the Caribbean where CPL. Trinidad and Guyana.
Yes.
The fans there they're going to have the stadiums ramp-packed. Elsewhere is an iffy situation. So I think because, I don't know if it's because from the day one, the Guyana team in Guyana and the team in Trinidad were embraced with both arms by the publics in their countries, respective countries, that they continue to have this rabid following, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think the same thing ever occurred in any one of the other territories to the CPL teams.
Interesting. We're going to get a comment from Philo and from Doc, but Julian Charles is in St. Lucia. Julian, have you gone to any of the matches at the Darren Sammy Cricket Ground as yet? Have you gone to the game?
Yes, of course. Good evening, our panelists. Yes, I was at the first game, and it was very well attended. The ground must have been, well, certainly, I think almost three-quarter filled, because the Stars had started off the year so well. I mean, they won the first two games in convincing fashion. After being 24-4, you know, they chased down 200 runs, and then they won the other one pretty easily. So there was great expectations, but I think it may have gotten to them a bit, some of the players, I think, the Stars, the Kings players. And they basically played in a manner which shows that they were overconfident. Because as you know, the Bosseju wicket, the Darren Sammy Graham wicket, is a very good one for batting. Which and is. Although there was a little something in it for the fast bowlers, but the stroke play shot selection was very, very, very ambitious, to say the least. And in no time, they found themselves in problems again. And the crowd were very disappointed. They turned up for big things. And they...
Where are you, Julian? Are you driving somewhere to the Prime Minister's?
Half a match.
Are you driving to the Prime Minister's house? We're not hearing you.
Yes, I'm driving to home to make a quick turn around to go back to the ground.
Okay, that's what you're doing. All right, we're not going to keep you too much longer because we know that you are busy. So do you expect very good crowds then for the St. Lucia leg?
Well, the funny thing is the timing of the games, because Saturday was a good day. People don't need to go to work on Sunday. But tonight is Tuesday and it's a work day tomorrow. Mm. Then they play Thursday. There's a work day on Friday. And then they play Sunday. But I think it all depends on the performance of the Kings, because the public is definitely behind them, but they need to perform. If they perform, people are going to turn up. You know, especially tonight. If they perform tonight, I think people will definitely turn up on Thursday.
Mm. Just before
a lot of people will turn up tonight, man.
You but think
it's
so?
Important that they get another win under the belt.
Just before you go, Julian, do you know what it would cost St. Lucians to get into the ground? Have an idea as to the prices?
Well, it costs the main stands is 50. EC dollars, which makes it just over 20 US.
Uh-huh.
So it's reasonable. It is reasonable this time around, for sure.
So the main stand is about 20 US, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And the mound? Is there a mound?
Yes, there is grounds. There is grounds. It's not a patty area. Like it normally could be, but there is grounds and St. Lucians, a lot of people do like going and stand up and chill out in grounds.
Okay,
so
I see.
You have a lot of fun in that area. But the Johnson Charles stand is where normally
Johnson Charles stand. Yes,
with heaven, you've been there.
Yes, I like the Johnson Charles stand.
Yeah.
Very popular stand. Yeah. Well, but
the action is. People turn up for the corporate suites as well.
Yes, indeed. All right. Well, Julian, I want to thank you. I don't want to delay you too much longer. Get home safely. Keep your concentration going. Don't drive too quickly. And I really couldn't go without asking about finally September the 27th, a big day for your country. You're celebrating your hero.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, what she did was just phenomenal. And its importance is not lost. Definitely not lost on St. Lucians, because, I mean, this will virtually happen once in a lifetime. We want it to happen again, but we know it's a really monumental effort to get an Olympic gold medal, let alone the one of the blue ribbon event in, the 100 meters women. So she's very adored in St. Lucia. From the time she was about 7, 8, her talent was evident for everybody to see. And, she left St. Lucia about 15 years or so, when she was about 15. As you know, her had her skills honed in Jamaica and then in Texas. But she's always a local girl, always seen herself as a local girl and always back home. So when she comes on the 24th, the streets are going to be lined up. And, of course, there's a holiday for her on the 27th, unprecedented, but so very well-deserved, and the island, I mean, there hasn't been anything bigger on the island, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We're proud of her too, Julia.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Chris, are you Chris, are you claiming her in Jamaica?
No, absolutely. She's all St. Lucia, but we are just very proud of her. As far as the Caribbean is concerned, as long as we keep that gold medal out of the U.S. hands, we're happy.
That's right. Of course, she's very grateful. she's very grateful for her time in Jamaica, of course. She spent about...
Oh, we used to watch her at champs, absolutely.
Yes.
She and Kibona Davis used to have a great rivalry.
Yes.
That was fun to
watch. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Brilliant.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Julian, thanks very much for coming. Get home safely and enjoy your game tonight.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks to everybody.
All right.
Good. Have a good night.
Thank you very much indeed. Julian Charles, of course, a former cricketer, former first-class cricketer, good cricketer as well. Solution to the bone. Mason and Guest brought in association with the good friends at ASFE Wet Rum, the best shot of the day.
Yes, if anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, 6:44 in the country. We're asking the question, as we put the CPL under the microscope, what are your expectations? What would you like to see in terms of improvement? Doc, are you feeling the CPL? I know you're a big CPL man. You've got your complimentary tickets as well for those big boxes that you go in the big suites. You're feeling the CPL, Doc?
Good night, Andrew, and the listeners. Well, the first few seasons I bought tickets for every single CPL match, and I went to quite a few, but as the years have gone on, I've gone to see it less, and I haven't bought any tickets for this season. It may be just a case of overstimulation, but my big issue with the CPL is, you know, I don't really see the skill that I would enjoy to see. If I watch cricket, I like to see skill. I like to see batting skill, bowling skill. I think it's a bit... I think, you know, on the evolutionary scale, I think it's a backward step when I watch batsmen. It's a bit agricultural at times. And even though I appreciate the, you know, that the T20 is a special format that requires a different approach and an aggression, I'd really like to see that aggression stylistically remaining as I know it. And, you know, for me, it's difficult to watch. And, you know, I'm not sure if sometimes when I see, if someone makes a 20 or 30, sometimes when I dissect the score, it's not a quality 30. It's you know, some edges, some other fortunate events. And, you know, it doesn't appeal to me. Maybe I'm just older. Maybe I'm, I am someone who maybe likes the longer format of the game. But CPL will have its place and there'll be people who will watch it. And I think... you know, it will. T20 cricket has changed. T20 has its place. It's there, and I know that it will do well. But not every fan will be. It won't appeal to every fan.
Mm-hmm. Philo, you feeling the CPL?
Hi, good evening, Andrew. Thanks for having me on the program. Good evening to all your guests. Just let me offer my condolences to Brendan and his family. Bastard, his father. I know Richard Lord is in hospital, Andrew. Thanks for mentioning that. He's a stalwart of Spartan. And it hurt me to learn that a man of Mr. Lord's caliber is in hospital. I was speaking to the president, Andrew Marshall, over the weekend at Queen's Park. I met him, watched him play in Yorkshire. And he said just a couple of weeks ago, Mr. Lord was in the park laughing and having fun. I know he's in the hospital. We do wish him a speedy recovery. I hope that he comes out and gets back normality and come and watch some cricket. I also want to say hello to Sherman Hart, Evan, my good friend, Kathy, who will be there tomorrow. Andrew, I bought tickets for the CPL. I went today. I bought tickets from the box office. People asked me, what am I doing buying tickets if I'm not going to get tickets free? I said that sometimes people feel that former cricketers want everything free. And it did not feel like CPL, Andrew. I saw Hartley Reid came in with his vehicle right on my on the back of me. I was scared, but he had brakes. But I told the people in the line it did not feel like CPL. There was no buzz. It was nothing. You just bought your ticket. I paid $50 for a ticket to go into the Greenwich Hayne stand. Actually, it's for our good friend Mr. Leroy Brown. He'll be joining me tomorrow.
Oh, wonderful!
In that stand, because I have no work. Mr. Brown is here. So we'll watch cricket tomorrow. And then when I drive, because I even went over the cricket legends, they're not even a banner about CPL like that at the organization, at the headquarters, nothing. And I really like the people from the Royals to have a discussion with cricket legends and get them involved. I try to see if they can banter and get people to come around. I think that we need to try to drive more people towards Kensington over CPL by incorporating other people. And it's something that really needs to happen in Barbados. So I don't really feel the vibe of CPL, but I'm going to more to support the Royals. And I hope that they do have a good week in Barbados. The sunshine was out today, thank God. And hopefully tomorrow they will get a full game. But Andrew, I'm not really feeling it. But people might come tomorrow over the weekend as well. Some people bought tickets for weekend's games. I think we're playing Guyana as well. Mm-hmm. But you might get a crow for that as well, for the Guyana game. So, but I'm not feeling it. There's no buzz at the Oval at all when I went today to buy tickets. But I wish the CPL and the Royals all the very best and hope that they can truly pull it off. And we need to do a bit more to let the people know that CPL is here in Barbados. I try to get the support going for the cricketers.
Mm. Chris, what would you want to see from the CPL? It started in what, 2013, if my memory serves me right? It's been going for quite a long time. Now, what would you want to see from them in terms of improvement? Doc is not impressed.
Yeah, so as I said, like all products, it has a life cycle. And we're entering a phase now that we need to... One of the challenges of the Caribbean, and you know, even when we looked at trying to discuss whether or not it's doing well this year versus prior years, there's a paucity of data. We have no idea how many tickets, the normal attendance that would have taken place over the last 4 or 5 years. It's all very touchy-feely type of analysis. Do we feel that there's a buzz? Do we feel like ticket prices or ticket sales are going well? You heard even Julian speak a while ago about, you know, that the crowd was good. But how do we define good? How many people actually bought it to those games versus prior games and so on? So we really are very bad at it in the Caribbean. And that will then help you to determine what you do need to do. I'll give you an example. Way back when, you know, the whole regional four-day cricket had totally declined, we looked at the ticket sales in Barbados as an example. And that at that point, Barbados Cricket Association was still selling regional four-day tickets at just about, it was in the region of about 40 US. It was very close to their test match ticket sales. And that's because cricket in Barbados was just seen as this grand tradition. There wasn't a big difference to a Barbadian whether they were going to watch West Indies play at the Oval or Barbados play at the Oval. There was so much pride. And maybe there was a time you could command that. But the crowds had totally declined. And yet we were still keeping those prices. And we made a deal with the Barbados Cricket Association and the Trinidad Cricket Association. When we brought in Buster as a sponsor, we launched the Buster Cup. And we made a deal to say, look, we will guarantee the ticket sales revenue that you made the previous year. And at that point, it was maybe like 20,000 US in total for the 4 or 5 matches that they had held. And in Trinidad, it was like 10,000 for 4 matches that they had held. We'll guarantee that figure. So you won't make less than that. But drop the ticket prices dramatically. In Barbados, we dropped it to like $4 or $5. And I'll never forget Keith Walcott, you know, saying that this was crazy and that type of thing. And down in Trinidad, Aloy Lee Kwai went along with us. And do you know, after the first game, they made back the guarantee. They made back what they would have made. They made the revenue. The 10,000 they made in Trinidad, the 20,000 they made in Barbados, not the first game. Just because, and that was looking at your product and seeing, okay, people don't want to pay 30 and 40 US anymore for this form of cricket. But hey, if it was down somewhere where it was a no-brainer, hey, they might come back again. And I'll never forget the headlines in Barbados, crowds back in Buster. I think it was the Nation newspaper. And that was all about pricing. So CPL may have to look at their pricing as a strategy. And that's, I guess that was a very long-winded approach to getting to the point that I was going to make. And I don't know if the CPL today can command again 25 US fillo in Barbados to in order to generate crowds, in order to generate back the excitement. Because pricing can go through life cycles as well. Mm-hmm. So if you regenerate a crowd with a lower price, get back the crowd, get back the excitement, the vibe, the buzz, you can then start to move your pricing again in the upward direction. So there's so many things that can be done from a marketing perspective. One of the things that I've always asked people when it comes to marketing, how many times do I have to advertise in Barbados a Ferrari on the radio before you're willing to buy it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the answer is it doesn't matter how many times you advertise that Ferrari if nobody's in the market to buy a Ferrari. And so if you're just advertising that there's a cricket match on at the Oval, there's a cricket match on at the Oval, there's a CPL on at the Oval, eventually, if people are not interested in going to cricket, that advertisement is wasted. Those ad dollars are totally wasted. You can advertise a million times that there's a cricket match at the Oval. Nobody's going to go. But if there was, for instance, something else that attracted them to that match, whether it be a live performance by Rihanna, so, you know, that would be my, obviously, my golden wish list, or a live performance by, dare I say, Vibes Cartel, which brings fans back to the game, brings fans, you know, and I don't want to use just music and so on as an example. But it is merely an analogy. How do you attract people back to the sport who can then become further fans of the sport?
Interesting. Don, are they talking about the CPL in England? Do they talk about it?
Yes, if you're a cricketer. You're hesitating. If you're interested in
Don,
cricket.
Don, you're hesitating.
Yeah, it's live on the TV in the evenings, mm-hmm. so we have the option to watch it. But the English cricket season is still going.
Right.
So we're very aware it's going on. Our T20 finals day is this Saturday. We've just finished the test season and we've still got one day cricket against Australia for England about to start tomorrow.
Mm.
So there's plenty going on here. It is talked about, and we do follow. For instance, you've got Chris Green captaining, is it the A&B, Antigua Barbuda,
Falcons, yeah.
And along with Sam Billings.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Billings is playing. But it looks to me as if they haven't done very well. So modern-day cricketers are followed by people. It's not so much the teams from the UK following the CPL, it's the players.
Mm. So you say that to say that the interest is not great. Is that what you're saying?
No, if you're a cricketer, if you're a sports fan, you're not going to be so bothered. But if you're a cricketing fan, you may follow it because you may follow, if you're an Englishman, you may follow some of the lads who are playing. But I obviously I have an affiliation with Barbados, so I'm looking at the Royals results.
Mm.
But not everyone cricketer will follow it.
Mm.
It's very regional, T20, very regional.
Mm. Chris, are the Jamaicans upset that they're no longer
very
the
player centric? Don makes an excellent point.
Yes.
I don't want to move on. It's very player-centric, T20. Mm. And it's player-centric from the perspective of fans that like particular type cricketers. You know, if I'm a Kohli fan or if I'm a Chris Gayle fan or so on, or Andre Russell or a Puran fan. But it's also very nationalistic. So if, the English want to see their English players play, And that's what has been one of the challenges with every league, where India doesn't want to release their Indian players into other leagues because that really would change the commercial dynamics.
I see. Yes, Don, before Basil comes in. Mm.
With all the gentry here tonight, we are all of a typical age that still...
My diagnosis is that he is suffering from...
We still love Test cricket, and that is massive. Test cricket is still the greatest game. But T20, and I'm asking your guests here as well as you, Andrew, is not the T20, are we not trying to ignite interest in the next generation? Mm. Because, all of us, you know, we aren't the future of the game. We must find a way of infusing, engaging, enticing the next generation to come and support cricket. So I'm asking you guys who watch it every day, are the youngsters not attending your CPL?
Mm. Basil? What have you observed?
As I said, from a Guyana perspective, there is not a problem with supporting the CPL from a Guyana perspective. And something I would want to go back to in terms of the talk about marketing. I remember when the Stanford Trophy was on, and I would always go back home for the Christmas holidays, which, you know, or even like prior to when that tournament would be played. And it reminded me in terms of the way it was being advertised, it reminded me of how sport was advertised here in the United States. That I would go down to the market square in my hometown, and the buzz would be about the upcoming Stanford because how it was so inundated. Mm. Every time you turn your TV on, you could not help but see the commercial and the players being featured, etc. And it created that buzz. And I always have said, Stanford brought to the region the methodology of successful sports marketing, in my view, that has never been taken up since Stanford. Mm. in the advertising and marketing of cricket events and so on since that time. You know, and that's something that needs to be looked at. And the other thing I just want to comment on, sports today at the highest level, they don't promote teams anymore. And that's been going on. I know the NBA was probably one of the first people to do it with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. And then they went even more so. They got into it more so from Michael Jordan, took it another level. So what you have today with fans, they follow players, right? I call myself a dinosaur. I always tell people the name in front is who I support, the team, not the name behind. Mm. But the younger people follow the player. So like a player like a LeBron James, guys was with James when he was in Cleveland. Then when he went to Miami, they were with him in Miami. When he left Miami and came back to Cleveland, they come back to Cleveland. He left Cleveland to L.A., they with L.A., right? Whereas the old school people like me, we stuck with my team. Like, I'm a Celtic fan, and I've been one for 40-something odd years. Mm. Players come and go, but the youngsters today, it's about the players. And so Chris raised a really interesting thing with the CPL. Do we have as much exciting players that would bring, you know, that doctors would want to latch on to? We have a few of them, the Purans, the Hetmeyers, etc. But I think we need to get some other ones coming up, Caribbean players that the youngsters can latch on and would want to come and see play.
Interesting. Philo, what about the standard? Are you happy with the standard so far? We've had about, 12 matches? Are you happy with the standard, Philo?
Actually, when you look at the standard of the CPL, I don't know if it's improving. I just think it's just stuck.
Oh.
You get some... You obviously, if you play that St. Kitts, get big scores, over 200, but it's still, the teams are still being beaten. And if you look at the teams who are from at the bottom of the tables, you one would say we expected those teams to be there. So to me, the standard CPL is not really, I don't really see a big improvement. Maybe some new youngsters have come on board and played in some of the franchises. You know, you got some young people from the Antigua and Barbuda Joel Andrews and those guys are playing, and Kill Louis is playing, and he's back in the middle and getting runs. Shehob is not opening the batting for Ghana. Amazon Warriors is batting at four, but he opens the batting for the international side in T20 cricket. You know, I don't understand how that happens, because you'll never see British and Haynes batting down the order in no team at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, these guys seem to be very flexible, and you know, and I watch CPL cricket, Andrew, to see if there are any new things I can pick up as an analyst in cricket. I listen to the vibe around the ground of what people think about the cricket.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I plan to do while being here in Barbados, to watch some of the games and pick up the vibe. If there's improvement, you'll see it, but you're still getting some low scores, you're getting some big scores not being defended. So I'm not certain if there's improvement, I ever say, across the board. I don't really think that. Mm-hmm. It's the same old coaches as well. We're not seeing an influx of new coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the coaches look tired as well. So I don't know. I'm sure I'm just going to watch tomorrow and make my own judgment.
What
I
about
think
the
seeing again live is better.
What about the captains? Are you seeing
some of the commentators?
Are you seeing any young captains coming through? You got Imran Tahir for the odd captain, the Amazon Warriors. Chris Green is, well, who's he captaining? The Falcons. I mean, Duplessis is there as well.
He's captaining the Falcons.
Yeah. Duplessis there.
Duplessis is captaining the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Andre Russell is captaining. Andre Flex is captaining the team of his kids, the Patriots.
Yep. Mm.
Ralph McPaul is captaining the Royals. Mm-hmm. Who are the new captains, Andrew? Is there a new ship coming out?
No.
Aircraft?
No. Yeah.
There are no new captains, Andrew.
I agree. No.
There's no fellas that are captains.
I agree.
There are no new captains.
I was being very sarcastic.
Schaefer Rutherford has left the franchise for personal reasons.
Yes.
And a full stop, and that's it.
What happened there? Have you heard anything about that, Philo? Have you heard anything about that?
Not even a good explanation. No, not even a good explanation from the franchise.
Oh, my God.
These franchises are separate and distinct, you know, so I don't know. So I just hope that something can be broken between CWI and the franchises in order to unearth some of the talent that we keep saying that we have in the region. I think Alec Antanas is injured as well.
Yes.
And he's going to be, I don't think he's part of the Royals franchise. I think he's also injured.
Yes, he is.
And it'd be interesting to see when he picked that injury up. You know, so there's a lot of, McCoy is still the same, Andrew, so. There isn't a lot of changes.
No.
So let's hope that this 2024 CPL, you know, we'll see going into the back end, we'll see a lot more determination and skills.
Mm.
And hopefully CPL will look outside the box as well, Andrew, for some help. Don't know who they sit down and talk to at the end of the season, but they need to sit calling people who are outside the box and ask for some input. I think that is what is lacking in our cricket.
Mm.
Another thing too, Andrew, I was very disappointed to Winward on Sunday and not to say the cricket.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it was a lot of rain.
Yep.
But when you have that kind of rain, you need to obviously deploy more covers and more personnel for the covers. But it would have, you know, obviously teams would have prepared very hard for that final. And I hope that when they reschedule it, well, they think it is made, that they get the adequate covers, that they have adequate personnel so that cricket can play, because the season is dribbling along, Andrew, and it's getting dark rather quickly.
Yeah, it is.
And like I saw the CEO of the BC on Sunday, and I told him that when they're looking at their fixtures, they need to maybe check in with people of who understands weather, and check some of the former umpires like Vincent Bullen and Tully Franklin and those people to help them structure the fixtures a lot better. Because, Andrew, climate change is, global warming is here.
Yep.
I've traveled the world and played cricket, and I've never felt heat the way I'm feeling now.
Yes, very hot.
And then you get the odd funny showers as well. So the whole dynamics of cricket have to change, and the authorities have to understand that they need to change their thinking about this game called cricket. I went to Spartan on Saturday, Andrew, and the players were complaining they've never played cricket in such heat.
Mm.
But yet you're still getting a water break whenever it is. So these are things that the BCA needs to look at. They need to sit down and have meetings with the clubs to find out the hardship of the clubs that go through with these players. It's really, really hot with this cricket. All these are things that would drive people away from cricket. So the players would like to come and watch cricket at CPL, but they're not going to come because they're not motivated or against the playing. So why should I go and pay $50 Barbados or $60 Barbados
mm-hmm.
to watch a game in Kensington Oval? And they don't forget to play at Kensington Oval. So they're going to pay to watch cricket if they can't play at Kensington Oval? All these are dynamics that will hurt CPL in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
Ghana is different. But there's no cricket playing at local cricket player at the BCA at Kensington Oval. So a man who wants to go to Kensington Oval and watch cricket, he has to pay. So that's going to be difficult as well. So all these are dynamics that are going to hurt CPL, Andrew, and local cricket. And I feel the authorities need to sit down and have some serious discussions with people that, matter and understand the dynamics of this game called cricket in the landscape.
Just before we go to Andrew, break, yes, Basil, yeah, come in. Yes, Basil.
Yeah, it seems like there's something really going on with this weather, because I just spoke to my mom earlier today in Guyana, and the first thing came out of her mouth was how hot the place is.
Oh.
Right? And then I spoke to another friend who was visiting my mom, and the same thing he said, he waited until the sun went down to come by to visit my mom later this afternoon.
Really?
He said the place is very, very hot.
No rain in Guyana? No rain in Guyana?
Yes.
No, you're right. I actually went down for the test match, and while it was there, it was extremely hot. And in fact, it was only Saturday morning we had a bit of rain, but the weather was pretty good there in Guyana. Let's pause for business calls. When we come back, we're going to surely get the thoughts of Dr. Ford. The lines are open, 441790. Mason Guest, brought in association with our good friends at ASFE Work Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESA feel white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want.
All right, it's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock. Doc, any questions for your good friend Chris Darren or Don Topley or anyone, or any comments?
I do have a question for Don. Don, there's no Crawley, there's no Wood, no Stokes, no Archer. You've had a chance to see have a look at the depth of the England test team in spite of this blip and the good summer thus far. What are your views on what you've seen? Is there lots of depth in English cricket at the test level?
Good question. They keep picking out good cricketers that seem to make very good test debuts. We know that there's a lot of professional cricketers in our game, 18 counties, but Rob Key and Brendan McCullum a little bit have suggested that it's not about stats in county cricket that will get you a test gig. It's not the county game stats will get you a test gig. So what there is depth in English cricket, there is, because there's 18 counties, but stats don't worry so much today, whereas back in my generation, Basil's generation, your generation, if you had a good season or you did well towards the end of the season, you could get a tour, away, abroad. Not today. It's about they pick these lads on character. They pick these lads on what they look like in their pathway. And at the moment, they've picked some really good ones that have come left field, that have been surprised, and they've done well. So I can't knock them. I mean, I'm a Ben Foulkes fan, but Ben Foulkes, unfortunately, has been jettisoned, and we may not see him ever again.
Ooh.
Because the new keeper has done so well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we can't fault them. The lad on the block at the moment, you may have seen him. He's a big rugby player. He's a left-arm fast bowler called Josh Hull. Mm. Now, his stats was taking wickets this season at 160 per wicket, and his career stats were 60 for bowling. And he's in the test team, and he's in the white ball team, and he's now going to be going to Pakistan later in the autumn. Tell me, what did they see with him apart from 6'7", 6'8", and he swings it? But his stats would suggest he shouldn't get a game.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have depth. We do have hunches. But I was disappointed, Doc, with the performance against Sri Lanka. I really was. But I'm also going to say well done for Sri Lanka for putting up a fight.
Okay, well, there's some contradiction. I mean, I must admit that Smith has been a revelation and looks quite impressive. Roots come back into form. The captain, Pope, wasn't doing well, scored a big 100 in a losing cause. But Lawrence, I don't really get Lawrence. And, you know, where are the young openers in the UK? I mean, I guess Hull has potential and they can see more. Maybe they want the variety of a left arm bowler and someone that can bat a little bit. But and also know that Wokes hasn't really lived up to the billing as an all-rounder. So the depth of the batting on paper, the team looks like it can bat probably till eight, but it in that collapse, it obviously didn't.
No. Well, I look, there is a young lad called, he's a middle order player called Jordan Cox, plays for Essex. He made his name at Kent, moved to Essex when Dan Lawrence moved to Surrey. And I have to say to you that Jordan Cox, in my mind, has a lot higher ceiling than Dan Lawrence. But Dan Lawrence was given the gig. And I have to say, England have been quite loyal. And I think that's quite a good trait. Sometimes back in the day, we used to have these one-test wonders. The West Indies didn't, because the West Indies were very, very strong in the 80s and 90s. But the England side weren't. And we used to have these one-test wonders, and there was no such thing as loyalty. So Dan Lawrence was given that opportunity. Strangely, he batted out of position. I think opening in Test cricket is probably a very hard gig because of the wickets, because there's some good bowlers around, and techniques are not what they were a la Greenidge and Haynes or Geoffrey Boycott. And I think us older fraternity will always harp on about that. Do you prefer the idea of having runs and a record behind you before playing Test cricket, Doc?
Yeah, well, I believe that you have to marry the potential. And, you know, a selector is someone who knows about cricket and can see the technique and can see that a guy can build an innings. Sometimes it's not about stats. If you see that there's just one little thing a guy needs to do to make it to the top. There's some that you look at the stats, but you watch them and they don't pass the eye test. And that's the same in most sports. So that's it. I'm going to shift now to Chris and ask Chris about CWI. CWI has been going through changes in the upper echelons of the management team. We've seen Miss Pierre being named as the communications and media manager. And recently we have a new chief commercial officer, but we know the CEO is going in a few months. What do you think about the way that CWI is making the transition between all these high-level individuals? There seems to be no continuity. It seems as though they're like sweeping everyone out, coming with a whole new slate. And where are the individuals with the know-how and the continuity regarding all the deals, all the contracts, all the things on the horizon? How does a new CEO come in not being chosen and with maybe a month or two to get up to speed and really keep things going as a continuum rather than a start and stop franchise and endeavor?
Well, you know, in the modern corporate world, that's not unusual. You know, you've had wholesale changes at major corporations over the years, and that's why you hire and pay for top people. Who come in and, you know, adjust, get themselves acclimatized quickly. There's, you know, remember back in the old days when West Indies would go on tour of England and you had a couple months of playing county against the county side and acclimatize yourself. Those days are gone as well. West Indies gets to England, they have one, maybe two little practice matches and they're into the test matches. That's just the nature of it. From what I've seen, and full disclosure, The president did ask me to sit in on the interviews with the chief commercial officer, who was recently hired. So I did sit in on those interviews, I guess, just to give a perspective of somebody who has operated in that role, but also just from an international perspective. You want to hear that the person speaks the language of international sports business. And, you know, I was pretty comfortable there. But at the end of the day, the challenge that West Indies cricket has always had is in certain roles, how do you attract the type of people that you want that fits the bill in every sort of sphere that is needed? You need people with that international sports business experience and exposure, but you also need people that have an understanding of the very, very peculiar circumstances of the Caribbean and the West and West Indies cricket. 14 disparate islands, no country behind you, no such country as the West Indies, understanding politics of regional cricket, understanding politics of the region. I can tell you, when I went into West Indies cricket, it was a total mind-blowing scenario. Because I just never understood, initially some of the politics that takes place in West Indies cricket. You go in there thinking, hey, this is West Indies cricket. We all love West Indies cricket. We're all going to work hand in hand to save West Indies cricket and so on, or see it evolve and move forward. But you very fast you learn that you can't just do what you think is the right thing to do. You have to find a way to sell it, and sell it across, X number of countries, every constituent wanting their say. And I'll never forget at the Cricket World Cup final, Owen Arthur, God rest his soul, pulled me aside and said to me in jest, sort of, now you know what it feels like to be a prime minister. Because dealing with the politics and different interests and different views. And of course, the emotion that surrounds West Indies cricket is incredible. Andrew, you would be familiar with papers that I've written about individual countries looking at playing individually again in T20.
Right.
Because the Olympics was coming.
Right.
We had to find a way also, how do we generate national resources? We already know we're challenged on the commercial resources side.
Mm-hmm.
How do we engage governments on the national resources side, which is challenging when you don't have a country called the West Indies? There's no West Indies government that you can rely on. There's no West Indies government that gets any sort of international exposure. And therefore, you see what Julian Alfred is going to get in St. Lucia?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because she competed at the Olympics under the St. Lucia brand.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you not understand how that generates national resources? One of the biggest national resources you can generate is pride.
Mm-hmm.
National pride. That's an incredible tool.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So how do we regain that? I'll never forget having to line up down the street to watch a Jamaica versus Barbados final, one day final,
mm-hmm.
and that fervor, that energy. Does franchise cricket, can franchise cricket generate that? Or are our countries our sort of franchise cities? And therefore, can we find another way to generate these natural resources? But my point is, when I wrote those articles and spoke about, hey, maybe we need to explore it, look at it, because we have to be thinking outside the box. The sort of immediate, visceral reaction was, hey, you're trying to break up West Indies cricket.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that at all. You're trying to break up West Indies cricket. And these are ideas you have to be able to explore and understand it. And I see CWI is actually looking at some type of playoff in the region for our Olympic qualification exercise here. And I always use the example, when Jamaica plays Trinidad in football in remember the old Shell Caribbean Cup, a man and a dog would be watching that game. Jamaica playing Trinidad for a World Cup qualification, and the national stadium is rampant. Okay, so there has to be an end, some outlet, whether it be the Olympic Games, whether it be World Cup and so on, that creates this vacuum, that creates a production pipeline that generates national resources, which is just as important as commercial resources, which we already know West Indies cricket is challenged just simply because of the size of the region. So England has a wonderful commercial resource platform. They sell their television rights to Sky and around the world, and you know, it's a $300-400 million revenue base every year that they don't have to worry about. But they also have national resources. UK Sport pumps in money into cricket. The schools have a school system that are well funded by the UK government. Not as well funded as maybe Don and everybody would like, but it's a funded school system that they have gear, they have prepared pitches and so on. Those are what I call the national resources. But unless you have both, it's going to be very, very difficult for the West Indies to regain any kind of competitive advantage. I spoke last time I was on, I think, about the last time I went to my high school, who are the reigning under 16 champions in Jamaica, my alma mater in high school. I went down to a practice, and those guys are practicing in the same manner that I would have practiced 50 years ago. A 15-minute knock-up in the nets, and they won new ball, a few tired bowlers. After, if you're not in the first three batsmen to get a knock-up, you're facing some tired bowlers, right? Some lollipops, right? Which professional sport prepares their teams that way still? That as they did 50 years ago. Mm. And that's what happens in the Caribbean because there's no national resources being pumped into it.
4341790.
Oh, yeah, well, Chris, I think you crystallized. Yeah, we can take the callers, but Chris has crystallized the fact that national drums beat more than franchise drums, but in the long run, you need quality. And that's why for some games you had a sellout, while others you may have had a paltry following. So you can go with the callers, Andrew.
No, you continue. You continue, Doc. I'm sure you got another question for Chris. But by the way, Chris, were there a lot of applicants? Just before you come in, Doc, because I didn't know that Chris got a pick there. Actually, making the determination as who's going to be the chief commercial officer. Were there a lot of applicants, Chris, for the job?
I don't know. I just sat on the final panel with this final gentleman. So I'm not okay with all the details, but the last applicant who they figured was the right candidate, they asked me to sit in as part of a panel on the very last applicant. So I don't know how many people would have applied and so on.
Okay. You have an idea about the CEO? Because as you know, your good friend Johnny Grave is leaving at the end of October. Are you going to be sitting in relation to the selection of the CEO? Anyone has spoken to you?
I haven't been asked, no.
Oh, no. You haven't been asked as yet? You haven't been asked as yet?
No, but let's see. I really hope they find the right candidate. It's always a tough challenge to find that balance of both that international business exposure plus exposure to the nuances of the Caribbean. It's almost two huge disciplines in and of itself. But the Caribbean is an incredible place, a wonderful place, but to do business in the Caribbean, I've done business, you know, with regional organizations, whether it be Cable and Wireless, Flow, or West Indies Cricket, and it is a very challenging environment. I always tell people, we're 99% the same. Every one of us has conscience. But if you get that 1% wrong,
you're
in
trouble.
It's a disaster.
Just before we go to the commercial break, do you support the idea, Chris, of an executive president? Because I mean, hearing this talk, I know that Cameron, there was some talk that he possibly wanted to be an executive president. Do you support the whole idea of an executive president?
Terminology, it can mean anything. You would need to understand how that executive president was going to be selected.
Right.
Because if it's by election, then you're not going to get the best. right, and against somebody who can win an election.
Mm.
I much prefer professional ads, and when you to run the day-to-day business of any organization, you can have chairmen and boards and so on. And boards are very important. You have to have proper governance and so on. But at the end of the day, what you know, you need top professional people running your organization. And you know, it doesn't really matter what you call them, whether it be CEO or an executive president. You want to be able to hire transparently the best. You know, we have seen in the Caribbean from our politics, you know, and this is not knocking all these people who put themselves forward to be politicians and members of parliament and so on. But we have seen in our individual countries the challenge a prime minister has to create executives to run ministries now from people who simply are good at being politicians. You know, they don't understand running organizations like a corporation, et cetera, and so on. We've seen that. So you don't want to, I don't think you'd want to replicate that in the Caribbean. You want a proper board, you want proper governance structure. I absolutely believe that governance is an issue to be addressed in the Caribbean. However, I do not believe it is the core problem of West Indies cricket. And, you know, every time the prime ministers have some symposium or there's some, all you hear is this governance, and governance reports and so on. And nobody wants to talk about and address the real issues that have impacted West Indies cricket. What is happening in the global cricket industry that West Indies cricket is simply a small part of, these things that have overwhelmed West Indies cricket, and how are we going to strategically address them? So, you know, that you need professional people running any organization, and I don't see how you get that by having elected officials as executives.
All right, let's pause for business call, 730-441-790. I certainly want to get a reaction from Basil as far as that is concerned, because I'm meaning this talk of a possible executive president. Mason and guests, brought in association with our good friends at ASFE Work Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE, white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASFE is the best shot of the day. Boy! Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, Basil, have you been hearing the talk about an executive president? Anyone has spoken to you? You tend to hear things.
No, I remember that came up when Cameron was the president. Yes. There was that Cameron wanted that was the allegations that Cameron wanted to move from this thing and be called the post now turned to an executive president, which means that would be remunerations and the like would be coming along with that post a la CEO. Yeah. But for me, to me that sounded like a redundancy. Well, why would you have a CEO and an executive president, right? Essentially the CEO is the person who runs the day-to-day running of the organization, and the president, the vice president, and the other boards, they're the ones that make sure, vote on the policies and so on, and review the performances thereof of the day-to-day employees, right? So I didn't see there was a need for that. I mean, listen to what Chris was saying. I somewhat take a different thing, look in terms of the, I would say different. What has happened in our cricket is that the professionalism that is required to meet the demands of the new global environment of cricket has not filtered down to the individual. It has remained so at the West or level, and it is in the territories where the players are produced, and so on and so forth. So therefore, if that doesn't occur in there, it's not going to reflect West Indies cricket as a whole. I mean, similarly, I mean, just to take off track a little bit, we have the new selection policy. And I would argue that the infrastructure to implement that policy is not in place in anywhere in any territory. So that will be an interesting challenge, because I think I like the whole concept, because to me it's almost like an earthquake going through West Indies cricket, where you're moving away from a lot of traditional things and moving in the mindset into modern day elite sport and how you scout players and choose players and so on and so forth. But we don't have the infrastructure or the personnel in place to do such things. And I'm looking forward to see how they go about doing it, because I would be very disappointed that if it's some of the same old, in how some of these people would be selected and are appointed to the various positions that would be needed to facilitate this new structure.
7:33 in the country, 4441790. Give us a call and participate in the program. In terms of the CPL, let's go back to you, Chris. We're going to come to you, Don. I know you got to leave pretty soon and get some rest. You're not as young as you used to be. Chris, do you think the CPL is making money?
Collectively, I mean, obviously, I'm obviously don't have the exact numbers, but I doubt it.
I doubt it.
I mean, when I heard at the last symposium, governments and people wanting to tear up the CPL contract and, you know, start again, it's the sort of analysis we tend to do in the Caribbean on the surface. We don't want to hear the data. We don't want to examine the numbers. Mm. We just think it's making a lot of money. And because other leagues around the world might be making money, and without even knowing those numbers, we want to tear up the contract we have in place, that I think is giving the West Indies Cricket Board $1 million off the top every year.
Yeah, $1 million.
Without
yeah.
them having to spend a cent to market, to run matches, to hire players, and so on. I'm because it's a corporate background I come from, where profit actually means something and cash flow means something. I'm not as flippant. Because if you look at what just the losses that we know of over the years, and this was when Digicel would have had to have reported to their bondholders and so on over a few years, the various losses that they were taking on board. You know, I would guess it's probably in the region of 30 or 40 million US that they've lost. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't count the total investment over the period since the start. And so that is a quantum that has to be recouped before you can even start to making profit. Then what they've done when they sold our franchises, they pretty much, in my view, parked then losses into the individual franchises. So maybe the center is probably breaking even, but the individual franchises now haven't started to make any money, and they're probably making losses there. Then you look at the television right side, and you know, the first 5 or 7 years, they were just struggling to get distribution, much less to earn any money from it. And it's one thing to say that you are on, at the time, I think early days of, not BBC, yeah, BBC Sport. They were on in the early days. My good friend Simon Green used to run it. And that was a sort of a sort of giveaway to get the product out there. They weren't getting any major television rights from BBC Sport and so on. And the truth is, it's very challenging to generate any significant television rights unless you have Indian players. And therefore, that's been reason why the BCCI has retained all their players and said, you're not playing in anybody else's league, because all of our Indian cricket revenues must be for India, for all IPL and for the BCCI, not for the rest of the world. So I doubt if they're making money, and I think we need to temper our enthusiasm about taking this thing back over. I would suspect they might be in a position, the CPL, to say, governments, if you want it, fear, habit. And we will maybe keep a minor share in it or whatever, but it's a serious endeavor to undertake. Give us back our money, give us back the 40 million that we've had to lose over the last 10 or 11 years in getting this thing going, and have it. And, you know, let's see if governments are willing to put their money where their mouth is. What we've seen in the past, governments say things that are just, you know, unsustainable or unachievable. You know, the last symposium, they spoke about setting up a Caribbean lottery.
Right.
Again.
Right.
Well, we went through that entire exercise. I spent years flying around the region. CARICOM approved it. But when you go down to the individual countries, no country would approve it individually. Mm. And therefore it died. Mm. And then you hear them bring it back again. Same governments. And you wonder, okay, what has changed? Are you now willing to approve it in your country? Not at this esoteric, theoretical CARICOM level. But hey, when we get down into Barbados, are you, Prime Minister Motley, are willing to approve the lottery in Barbados? You know, those are the kind of things that, you know, it's always very challenging for West Indies cricket.
441790. Yes, Bazzy, you got your hand up.
I just wanted to add to what Chris was saying about the profitability, because I remember listening to one of the owners, specifically the Rajasthan Royals owner in the IPL. And he admitted, he said, for the first 10 years, none of the franchises in the IPL made money.
Mm.
And he said, he even spoke specifically about his, he said they made a little something before that, just before the 10-year mark, because they were very frugal in their expenditures to pay players.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only reason they had a little advantage. They got something back until, he said it was after 10 years, then franchises started to make money. So that's a market that's way, way, way more expansive than the Caribbean. And it took them 10 years to break even. And now, after then, people started making money. So I could see the issue with CPL. But I would also add, I think a lot of these other domestic tournaments around the world, they're not going to be around for much longer. I think it's untenable for them to sustain losing money year after year after year. Mm. And you're going to see probably like the BBL, they remain, the 100, the IPL, and maybe the CPL, but and the South Africa thing too. But you're going to see a lot of the other, well, the Pakistan one, I got to say, that's another one too. But you're going to start to see some of the smaller ones fall by the wayside. I would not be surprised the Major League Cricket in the United States, that might be a victim too.
Mm. Okay, let's take a call before we go to Philo and to Doc. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests. We're going to do a commercial break as well. Hello, Mason and guests.
Good night, Mr. Mason.
Good night.
You know that Alvin really is a four-day and test cricket fan.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, of course. I will listen to 2020, but it really don't turn me on like test cricket and things like that. And if you follow the test match between England and Sri Lanka,
mm-hmm.
you will pick out why at the test cricket level or not. You follow the second inning in England in that series?
Yeah, the kind of cricket that they played?
Yeah, that 2020 cricket.
Yeah.
You can't bring that cricket in test. You will be lucky once you get there once or twice.
And at no stage did they pull back, as we would say. I couldn't understand it.
No, because they took there with the 2020
mm-hmm.
Feeling.
Yes.
But why I call you Mr. Mason, knowing you, Mr. Mason, that you don't allow certain things to get there.
Let me hear you though, sir.
How come that up to today,
yes,
you question my over $50 million promoting cricket in Barbados and the World Cup? Why nobody have asked a question about how our money would spend?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, how come that you're getting there?
Mm-hmm.
When you going to get there?
Well, we're going to start with you.
Well, let me tell you, start with the money at Weymouth Pastor.
Yes.
Start there first,
yes,
and then we will go on. Let us find out what happened with the money at the police ground.
Yes.
You can help. You promise me next week you will start there.
Yes, I know where you're going with that. I got my information as well. Yes.
Have you got your information? Why don't help the public?
You want me to get in trouble?
I didn't know it was trouble. I thought that you're the outspoken person. If you see things that need,
yes,
informing barbarians, you believe in the truth, so
yes,
nobody won't get back to you. then you do speak. So next week, I'm listening as usual.
Yes.
And I want you to start out with Weymouth for me, because remember, my children and grandchildren got paid about this money, you know?
Yes, it's a lot of money.
You know that?
Yes, they do have to.
So help me next week. Have a good night.
Yeah, good. Always good to hear from you, my friend. 441-790. Certainly, you can give us a call and participate. Doc?
Yes, I'm sure that the question Alvin asks is a relevant one. It's something you must ventilate. I saw Chris has put up a... Chris, you're leaving us or you're still here? Yeah. Okay, well, we've enjoyed every minute of it. But before you go, can you tell us, do we have the know-how within the West Indies to have a CEO, or should we... Do you think we should, you know, look elsewhere?
I don't know. We'll see when they, I guess they're going to advertise for the position to see who puts their hand up. You know, you have people that are clearly very capable from a corporate CEO experience and so on. The challenge we have in the Caribbean, we don't have a professional sports industry.
Mm.
So as you're getting you can get top executives. Are you going to get a top executive who has international sports business experience, which is very specialized? I always tell people, you know, my investment banking background before I came into West Indies cricket helped me, but I've learned that it was far more complex negotiating and valuing sports rights than any bond or company or merger acquisition I'd ever managed, because there's just so much variables in sport that don't exist really within company. There's always so many other examples you can lean on, case studies and so on in the business world, in the corporate world in the Caribbean that you could have leaned on. But in sports, it's very, very specialized, understanding the impact of technology on sports rights. And you know, when we were negotiating TV rights, you know, I tell people would call me over mobile 3G rights, what West Indies was doing with its mobile 3G rights. Now, this is before the first 3G network had ever been built, because sports rights are sold so many years in advance. And I had to tell the person, look, we're devising our strategy and we'll get back to you. And then I started calling everybody to find out what was 3G. Right? And so you had to then, okay, look at, you know, and I told people, when my first television rights agreement, the definition of TV rights was a paragraph. My last, it was 10 pages. I have no idea where it's gone to now. The various definitions that you can have now in terms of television and video rights and audiovisual. So it's easy, as I said, to find top executives in the Caribbean. It's not easy to find people that can come in with a sports understanding, a sports management understanding, because we just don't have a professional sports industry to draw on. So if you look in England, you have people who are extremely qualified from a commercial perspective, from a sports administrative perspective, run professional leagues, worked in other professional leagues, and they can bring that experience to cricket, which is very different from what we have here.
Chris, just before you go, you're preparing now to listen to Trump and Harris? You're going to look forward to that?
That's exactly where I have to go.
I know. I know. Can I ask you who you think will win?
It's a big game. We're talking about the summer of sports. It doesn't end. Mm-hmm. This one is a big match.
Chris, who do you think will win the election? Talk to me.
It's extremely close.
Mm.
It's extremely close.
Mm-hmm.
Where I am up in Florida, I don't think I've seen a single Kamala sign.
Really?
It's been nothing but Trump. Nothing. I drive through nothing but Trump signs.
What?
this is, you know, every neighbor has out their sign, you know, Trump and their flags and so on.
Mm.
So it's difficult in, you know, and America so big. And of course, the election boils down to 6 or 7 states.
Right.
Critical ones like Michigan and Pennsylvania. If the Democrats lose that, they're up against it. They're up against it.
But give me a winner, Chris.
I'm gonna go with Kamala, of course.
Yes,
I'm picking the upset.
Kamala. You think it's gonna be tight though?
It's really good to have another Jamaican
intro. Yeah, but it's gonna be very tight. It's gonna be very very tight, huh?
Super tight.
Chris, one final one. What do they like about Trump though? What do the Americans like about Trump? Because, I mean, as a Bajan, I hear Trump. And I said, but what is this all about? Oh, he treats people anyhow. What do you like about Trump?
I'll tell you this. It is frightening.
Mm.
let me tell you a story about a Trump supporter.
Yes.
A next door neighbor.
Yes.
And just to give it an example, the mentality some of these people have.
Mm.
Well, he invited myself and my wife over to his house to look at how he has refurbished his house.
Yes.
And of course, he had a big Trump flag out. And so I pushed my wife and said, "You first."
Yes.
Yes. And when we walked in, Andrew, on the couch,
yes,
as we walked in the living room, first of all, he had a big picture of Boris Johnson.
Okay.
That struck me as strange. That was a huge picture of Boris Johnson.
Yes.
Then I walked in, and on the couch, he had these two AR-15s on the couch and a ton of bullets.
Mm.
And I was like, whoa. And he says, "Don't mind that. I'm packing to go on a trip up to Tennessee."
Mm.
And so my wife says to him, "Oh, you're going hunting." And he turns around and he says, "I don't hunt animals."
Mm.
"I don't shoot animals."
Mm.
This is gospel.
Yes.
We're past the kitchen. He has two more rifles on the kitchen counter and bullets.
Mm.
We pass through his bedroom. He's showing us how he has refurbished his house. Eh?
Yes.
We pass through the bedroom. We have bullets. No guns, but bullets all over the bedroom floor. What? And then he takes us to the gun room.
Mm.
The gun room, where he has converted a bedroom into a gun room. With racks of AR-15s and M-16s and handguns in this pouch-looking thing. It was just, and barrels, like our rum barrels. That's what they look like, barrels of bullets.
Sounds like you're in the crosshairs there, Chris.
Listen, but the mentality of some of these people is frightening.
Mm.
They fear the browning of America. And immigrants, like you would not believe. They believe immigrants are coming to take over this country and change everything that they have known for so long. It's an incredible fear.
And
Trump feeds on it.
Oh, he feeds
on it. I'm not saying all of them are like that, but there's a core 30% that are just terrified.
Oh, my golly.
Probably decent white Americans in every other sphere of life, but they're so terrified about the immigrant population that they think is flooding across their borders to take their homes.
Mm-hmm. Oh dear, oh my golly. Well, Chris, thanks for coming and talking to us. We'll speak on November the 5th. All the best.
All right, take care, everybody.
All right, let's pause for business calls. When we come back, we're gonna go to Don Topley, who's a big Trump supporter, I'm told. Mason and Guest Broughton Association with the very good friends at ASAP work run the best shot of the day.
ASAP, white rum. If anybody feels they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth.
break it up or you can't qualify. Just sing this song, tell me bartender, ESO is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESO is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, we're getting very, very close to the end. I almost said Donald Trump, but it's really Donald Topley. How are you, Donald? Are you
very good? I'm not a Trump fan, but can I just say?
Yes,
it's been great listening to your panel, but in particular Chris. But I just want the best person for the job, man. Woman, whoever it is, but over the last few years, we've had world leaders. When we had even Clinton, we had Mrs. Clinton, we had Trump, we've had Biden. I just want the best person for the job, and I can't always see the best person. I mean, you know, Boris Johnson was mentioned just now. I mean, gosh, blimey, I can't see him being the best person for a job. Why can't we have good people? I was very impressed with your Miss Motley earlier this year.
Oh,
what a cracking lady she
she's
was.
Cracking indeed. In fact, to such an extent that Ken has gone on red, which is the color of the BLP. Hello, Ken. Say hello to Philo. He's in red, Philo.
good evening to Philo and everyone else.
Good evening, Ken. Ken obviously is feeling the power.
Yeah, he's feeling. Aye, well done, Philo. Just before you go, Philo, England, of course, up against Australia. What are you expecting from that white ball series, Philo? Gonna be tight.
I think it's going to be a challenging series for England. You got to remember too, Andrew, that they've just given Philip Salt the captaincy.
Yes.
Congratulations to him. They've also given a debut to young Joshua Bethel. Congratulations to him. And one thing I like about England is that they announced they're playing 11 quite early, so you can sleep on it.
They do.
Obviously, Dawn Sanders there recently, and I hope that he can hit his traps. He's going to be very important for England's T20 campaign going forward. And I do hope, Dawn, I think that one thing I have to say about your son is that I think that sometimes he comes off the throttle a little too early and boasts on light deliveries. And get smashed, and then he doesn't have the power to drive back to come back hard. I think that he needs to continue to look the ball hard lengths whenever he gets the ball. Yes, the variations will come into play, but he needs to continue to do that. But I think the Australians are going to push England. Obviously, this is Marcus Triscoffic is just the standing coach. Brendan McCallum will take over in January. But it's going to be a good precursor for England to see where their strengths really lie. Mm. And obviously, what they need to do in relation to moving forward. But they've given the opportunities to the young players. I'm glad for Mahmood as well. He's come back very, very strong. And congratulations to him. It just goes to show, Andrew, that if you put in the hard work when you're injured, and you put in you're really dedicated and you're focused on getting back into international cricket, you can get there. I just saw that even Shamar Holder has been given 3 games for Durham in the back end of the season. I wish him well, even Anderson
Phillip. Wonderful.
As well for Trinidad. So at least our players are getting recognition. So I think that the series against Australia is going to be one that's going to push England quite hard. Because the Australians are not going to play easy.
No.
And Don already knows that rivalry between England and Australia is not going to, although it's September, it's going to feel like bloody August.
Yes. Basil, quickly.
It's going to be heat.
Basil? By the way, what part of the world are you, Basil? Are you in Burmese?
No, I'm in New Jersey.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. So you're in Trump and Harris country then?
Yes. That's where I reside. Yes. I would say that this election is very interesting. Because I don't support either candidate, so for me, it's just observing both of them. Yeah. Yes, but on the other front, with the cricket, we got an interesting match on right now with Trinidad and St.
Yes.
Lucia.
What's the score?
What's
the score?
I think 98 for 3 in the 12th.
98 for 3.
Misha's batting.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Chase and Rajapaksa are at the middle at the moment.
Indeed.
Yes.
Just before we go to Dr. Ford to wrap up, Hunted, of course, Trump and Harris, you think it's going to be tight? Who do you think will win? 30 seconds. Tell me.
I really believe Trump going to end up winning the election.
Really?
I have warned people. Yes, I have warned people that people underestimate his supporters, how staunch they are Trump.
Oh dear. Right?
And one of the things that you're seeing a lot of black people not interested in voting for Harris.
Oh.
Right? Yeah, because look, Harris never got support. Look, people forget a lot of things. When Harris ran for the Democratic nomination in 2020, she got no support from black people. That's why she dropped out of the race, right? And, you know, a lot of people voting against Trump is because they hate Trump, the personality. And that happened against Biden. But in the United States, a lot of us, the economic situation that has occurred that hit in our pockets, the working person, you go to the grocery store, what you spent in groceries prior, now it's like less than half of that going into your grocery bag, and you're spending the same amount of money. And so when, for example, Harris would say things like, oh, inflation is down at 3%, well, I'm going to tell you, none of us ain't feeling that 3%, boss, because when we turn up to the grocery store, it's still kicking us in the butt.
We got
to
leave it there now. We got to leave it there now. Final word with you, Dr. Ford, a big Harris supporter.
Well, I think that Australia should win the 50 over, but the T20 should be closer.
You think so?
But it should be an interesting series.
And that is based on? You think the win because
well, the side for the 50 over is an established side, but we have a lot of new and less known people in the 20 group.
I agree with that. I think Australian, they're very, very tough. The Australians, I mean, it's a very, very, very good side, and I expect them certainly to come out on top. Thanks to you, Don Topley. Looking forward to seeing you in the Caribbean. Thanks to you, Basil Butcher. Thanks to you, Dr. Ford. Fellow Wallace, brilliant as usual. And of course, Chris Darin, who's in the hot seat there in Florida. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a bright tomorrow. It's good night. ESA feel white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da. What you want? ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.